Lord is in his holy temple. Worship is taken from Psalm 99, verse 1, 2, and 5. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, he is high above all the people. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Let us arise for the opening hymn. The hymn is number 5. Command thy blessing from above. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the gathering of thy people before thee at thy throne of grace. Indeed, it is our privilege that thy people may be assembled before thee. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has won this victory by his resurrection from the dead 3 days after he died. O Lord, we thank thee for the resurrection life that thou hast accorded to thy people who by faith repent of our sins and receive him as Lord and Savior. Father, we pray that thou bless this worship, that every item may redound to thy glory and prepare the hearts of thy people to partake the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, and may thy word preach bring honor and glory to thy holy name. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ, who while on earth taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Glory be to the Father. Seated. The reading of God's word is taken from Genesis 47 and verse 1 to 31. Genesis 47, verse 1 to 31. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, What is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. They said moreover unto Pharaoh, For we sojourn in the land, are we come, for by servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land, make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen, let them dwell. And if thou knowest any man of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil are the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they brought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth." And Joseph said, "Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle, if money fail." And they brought their cattle into Egypt, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, and for the flocks, and for the cattle of the herds, and for the asses, and he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year, and they said unto him, "We will not hide it from my lord how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate." And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his land, because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's, as and was for the people. He removed them to cities from one end of the border of Egypt, even unto the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat of their portion which Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, "Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land, and it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and the fourth part shall be your own for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for food for your little ones." And they said, "Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." Verse 26. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except land of the priest only, which became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so that the whole age of Jacob were 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, swear unto me. And he swear unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Amen. Thank God for the reading of his most sacred word of everlasting life. Now in response, seated, is the hymn 125, Jesus is the joy of living. I have a wondrous Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We shall now be serving the Lord's Supper. We ask the ushers to prepare. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Amen. Therein is the instruction given concerning the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is open to all born-again, baptized believer in the Church of Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, you have not been baptized, please refrain from partaking of the elements. Let us spend a quiet moment in prayer and self-examination before we partake of the elements. Peel off the plastic for the bread. So please pick up your bread and for yourself. Jesus says, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let us partake of the bread. Let us peel off the cover for the cup. Lord Jesus says, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let us partake of the cup. Let us arise for the hymn 185. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the gift of the bread and the cup. As we remember our Lord's death till he come, may thou be gracious to refresh thy people, strengthen us by thy Holy Spirit, and send us forth to be thy ambassadors in this dark and evil days. For thy own honor and glory, may thy church shine forth beams of light for the failing, for the lost, for the afflicted, O God, may thou use thy people to be an instrument of righteousness, instrument, agent of blessing this new week. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. We shall now present our tithes and offerings. The offering hymn is 137, 137. Thanks to God. 137. Thanks to God. Please rise for the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Thy church may be strengthened as we come to present our tithes and offerings before Thee in holy worship. May Thou be gracious to use this tithes and offering for the furtherance of Thy glorious gospel kingdom. Father in heaven, use thy people, and may thou bless every cheerful giver. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The hymn before the pastoral prayer and the message, Covenant Blessing, Part 1, is 320, This So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thy people may be gathered together once again before Thee at Thy throne of grace, as we wait the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. O Lord, we come to call upon Thee, knowing that Thou would answer and show us great and mighty things which we know not. Father, we thank Thee for gathering, strengthening Thy people over the past week and assembling Thy people today. Thank Thee for the elements that Thou hast given to thy people for our spiritual nourishment. Father in heaven, we pray and ask that thou would use this thy church to be thy ambassador, thy messenger, to fulfill the mandate of the Great Commission that is entrusted to us. Father, we pray that thy word, which is preached, would go forth in power of the Holy Spirit, that a word may convert sinners and exhort believers to glorify thy holy name. Father in heaven, we come before thee to remember the sick. For thou hast said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the sick and the Lord shall raise them up. Father, we pray for Christine, that thou hast be very gracious and very close to her as she has contracted shingles. O God, may thou strengthen her and grant to her healing at this time of need. We also pray for our brother Joshua Wong, that thou would be very gracious to him as he is being diagnosed with the virus and that he is requiring oxygen. O God, may thou be gracious to strengthen him, to be with him during this time of need. May thou comfort and strengthen the family during this time of need. Father, we pray and ask that thou be gracious to strengthen our brother Victor Ng also. At this time, you couldn't contact him. May thy grace be upon him to strengthen and keep him. We also pray for our brother Tong Sing, that thou be gracious to strengthen him in his regular rehab, and also to grant his mother good eyesight and good health. We pray for Madam Lim, that thou grant to her complete recovery from the fractured neck bone condition. I also pray for my uncle Thomas, that grant to him a managed kidney condition through dialysis treatment, and that he would have a good recovery from the stroke. We continue to pray, commit to thee his salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we pray and commit to thee Jenny Hu, that thou be gracious to grant to her remission from the late stage lung cancer condition. And also for Marie, that she undergoes kidney dialysis treatment, that her blood pressure will be well managed. Father, we thank thee that we have found a place for the year-end retreat. May thou guide us as we contemplate and plan. Guide us, grant us thy wisdom and understanding what we ought to do for thy own honor and glory. Father, we pray for those who are preparing for the upcoming O-level exams. Pray for Janelle, pray for Eun Yang, that thou be gracious to strengthen them for thy own name's sake. We pray for those, thy protection upon those who are in NS, for Daniel, for Lucas, for Enla. Father, we pray that thou be gracious to protect them. May thy grace be upon them. We pray for the government of Singapore, that thou would grant peace and righteous governance, that the gospel work may continue. Father, we pray for thy mercy to protect Singapore from terrorism, from case, from pestilence. May thou be very merciful to strengthen thy people for thy own name's sake. We pray for the candidates preparing for baptism, reaffirmation of faith, and transfer of membership. May thou be gracious to guide us in the study of thy word. We also pray for thy people to love, read and to meditate upon thy word, to keep thy commandments and to do thy will. We pray for the prayer life of thy people, that it may be revived in the power of the Holy Spirit for thy own honor and glory. And Father, we pray that thou would be gracious to bless now the preaching of thy holy word. Strengthen us, that we grant us understanding. This I ask with thanksgiving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Covenant Blessings, Part 1, Genesis chapter 47 and verse 1 to 31. God blesses His people with all spiritual blessings, the greatest of which is to know Him and to live under His care, because He's the maker and sustainer of all life. When we are connected to Him, we have everything. Without Him, true life departs from us. The Word of God is given to us that we may understand and know Him, that our spiritual life may be made well by Him. Turn with me to John chapter 15, where Jesus describes to us the close relationship that we have with Him. When we abide with Him, we have life. In Him we flourish. In Him we have life. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. In Jesus Christ, it's life. He is the giver of life to each one of us. When we abide in Him and His life is in us, we shall bear forth fruit in our lives. Here, verse 6 says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. What a life! What a life! Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that he bear much fruit. Covenant blessings, life with God, life in Christ. How it flourishes. As the Father loved me, Jesus says, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. Not only is your prayers answered, but there is a joy that God gives to your heart. In the midst of great affliction, perhaps, that is all over, when we would abide in Christ. And Peter understood this truth very well in John 6 verse 65. John 6 verse 65. It is said in this passage of how Jesus fed the 5,000. You remember? He preached to them and they were all hungry. And with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he fed them all. And after that, what happened? They all left him. They were all gone. He is the giver of life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. In
me you have life. If you depart, your life will also depart from you. In John 6:65, Jesus says, therefore said I unto you, that no man cometh unto me except it be given him of my Father. For from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Walk with him no more. How is it that they have been fed? The bread that was miraculously multiplied, and yet they could just walk off. And then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. God is the bestower of all blessings. He manifests himself in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Prior to his coming, to the coming of Jesus, God manifests himself to Abraham, the father of Jacob, the grandfather of Joseph. How did God manifest himself to Abraham? By a visitor, remember? He came to him when he was 99 years old, still without a child, and the visitor said to him that you're going to have a child a year later. He says, the wife laughed and said, the womb is barren. How could it be? And yet a year later, God blessed Abraham after 25 years of sojourning in the promised land with a seed, a descendant. And Abraham came to this land because God instructed him. You see, life with God is a mysterious, unusual, we said exciting journey. What did God ask Abraham to do? Get out of your house. Get out from your kindred. And go to a land that I promise unto you. I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God promised to Abram that a great nation will come out of his loins, and this nation is Israel, as we know today, in which Jacob is the father. And God said to Abram that he blesses those whom he will bless and curses those whom he will curse. You may be wondering why God would do that. This is because God is working out his plan in Abraham's life, through Abraham's life, and the descendants of Abraham's life. It was God's plan of redemption. God wants to save mankind who is lost and strange, miserable, in sorrow, in great pain. And he has come to save them. And he is going to do so through this one family that he will raise. The plan of God was at that stage when Jacob brought his family to Egypt. That was where we left off last week. Jacob was prayerful. He sought God's will. And God instructed them to go to Egypt. You remember, we turn to Genesis chapter 46 and verse 1. Genesis 46 and verse 1 to help us to recap where we left off last week. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Where was Beersheba? It was the dwelling place of his father. It was the place where they were fed. Beersheba, the place where they managed to dig deep wells, and the family managed to settle down in the land. It was the land of promise. It was the covenant that God made with them. How could Jacob leave the land? You see, it's because the famine was great. They have no food left. It was a desperate situation. And God wanted to remind us, in every famine, in every distress that comes into our life, that He is the one that is in charge of all things. Let us pay Him our homage. Let us make right with Him. And here we see the first thought, bestowed and bestowing. We see here the last days of Jacob's life. How at Beersheba, God said to him, go down to Egypt. You see, he had been the last 20 years quite miserable, because the son of his old age, Joseph, had suddenly left him, disappeared. He just had a coat filled with blood, a coat that he has given to his son, and it was returned to him filled with blood. It was a great shock to him, and he never really recovered for many years. And suddenly, out of a time of great distress and famine in the land where they had no more food, the sons came to him and said, Joseph is yet alive. Your son is yet alive. And he's in Egypt. And he's the prime minister. And he has asked that the whole family would come. And he would take care of the family. You see, when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, He takes care of us. He knows our needs. How did He feed the 5,000? Five loaves and two fishes. Why five loaves and two fishes? It's to demonstrate to us that He's God. He has the power. He's the one that puts the food on the table for you each day. And sometimes He takes it away from you. Why does He take it away from you? So that you would be awakened to realize, one day to think, food doesn't just come on the table like that. Someone has given it, and we trace to the first cause, the Father in heaven, God Himself. And Jacob understood this. He dare not leave Canaan. It was a land of covenant with his forefathers. He dare not leave, because he knew that that was the land of promise that God has given to him. And although the family is dying of hunger, although he has heard that there is food in Egypt, that his son is yet alive, he wouldn't make any move until he has consulted with his God. Is that your modus operandi? Is this how you work? Well, let us live in that way. Only when God says, move, you move. Why? Because He knows the end from the beginning. He makes the path for us. And He paves it for us. And He makes no mistakes. And that we see, so that we may learn in the time when famine will come. Right? It is said that the world is heading toward an unstoppable house of cards falling down. And that we are facing a new 1929. Are you prepared? Are you ready? A time of famine may come. And what will you do? Well, the Lord is saying to us here that He takes care of us beginning to the end. And you are here on earth for a purpose. And God saved you for a purpose. Because He has an eternal plan. And Jacob was part of the eternal plan of God. Joseph was part of the eternal plan of God. That is why God sent him into Egypt many years later, as a teenage boy, so that he would find his way there and climb his way up. And there, in the most crucial moment of need, to be the provider for the family. God's plan. How marvelous it is when you trust Him, when you obey Him, when you follow Him, how He takes care of you. Do you realize that? Bestowed and bestowing. Verse 1 of our text says in Genesis 48, "Then Joseph came to Pharaoh and said, 'My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of Egypt. Behold, they are in the land of Goshen.' And he took some of his brethren, 5 of them, and presented up to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to them, 'What is your occupation?' They said, 'We are shepherds. So are our fathers, and we are here for to sojourn in the land that we come. For there is no pasture for our flock, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. I pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen.'" Where is Goshen? Goshen is the most fertile land on earth at that time. The best land. The land that is still green. When the entire world is famishing, perishing around. You see how God takes care of His people, how God guides His people, and how God provides for His people. And the Lord wants us to know and to understand the best land will be given to Jacob's family in Goshen. We see God's hand orchestrating and fulfilling His plan through human agencies. And it was a sparsely populated place, Goshen, at the Nile Delta. It was good for rearing of livestock. It was an ideal place for shepherds. And you see, God has led them there because it was a place of incubation. It was a place where Israel and his family would grow, and how the Lord would lead him in the last 17 years of his life. He's now 130 years. He's going to be there for the next 17 years, the last days of his life. He's going to live in comfort. God is going to take care of him. Joseph is going to take care of him. And you see how God guides his people and plans each and every way for them. We are indeed clay in a potter's hand, as the Lord told the prophet Jeremiah. He makes it whatsoever He pleases. He's able to make and He's able to destroy. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18. Verse 1. "The word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Arise, go to the potter's house, And there I will cause thee to hear my words. And I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on his wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made again another vessel that seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant shall I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. We may have come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God has helped us. He has taken care of us. And in all our comfort, in all our peace, we began to forget that all that we have comes from Him. And we began to live wantonly. We began to sin against Him. We began to wreak havoc in our lives. And the Lord said, that's terrible. And so the Lord took the vessel and He destroyed it so that He will make another vessel. Well, the Lord is saying to us here, let us, having received benefits from God, let us not be ungrateful. The Lord says, I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Psalm 103 reminds us not to forget the benefits of the Lord. Not to forget what God had done for us. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy disease, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, and so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. What God had done for us, let us not forget what God had done for the family of Jacob. It was indeed miraculous. And the whole land was perishing. And yet, God has prepared a place of incubation, of sustenance for them. Verse 7 of Genesis, verse chapter 48. It says, Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the monarch of the land. He owns all of Egypt. Why did Jacob bless Pharaoh? Because it was by the auspices of Jacob's God that Pharaoh has life. That Egypt did not perish. That Egypt was sustained because of the mercy of God. That He would be doing so because of His redemption plan. That He would make for Himself a nation out of this family. And can we not understand that God has a purpose for our life? God has a purpose for saving you, for raising up and putting you into the church. We said the church is a people called out. The word ecclesia, the word church, it means a people call out from the world, separated from the world unto God. You are a people of God. And the Lord is separating you for a purpose, that you would be a witness for Him to a dying world, to understand how God has taken care of you so well, so well, and how He has protected you, and how He has kept you, so that you have peace in your heart. And you may be outwardly afflicted, but inwardly, within you, in your soul, there is great joy, there is great peace within you. That's the life with God that Jacob lives to tell. And therefore, when he came to Pharaoh, he blessed Pharaoh. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Was it not Pharaoh who blessed Jacob to dwell in the land of Egypt? The coming of Jacob's family to Egypt was God's way of blessing Egypt. God revealed to Joseph His will to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. If God had not revealed to Joseph, and Joseph has not told it to Pharaoh, Egypt would likewise have perished like all the other land. Whenever God brings His people, they are a blessing to the people they meet. As they serve God, they walk humbly in His will. And this is what the Lord wants us to know and understand, our position in the light of God's created order. How important it is that we would follow Him. We would be having such unceasing dependence upon Him. As the vine and its branches, how we need Him. And when we abide with Him, the Lord tells us, He asks what He will, and it shall be done unto you. Your prayer will be according to the will of God, and all of God's will fulfilled in your life. What a blessed life. Jesus promised that your joy will be full. You will have a life filled with the promise of God fulfilled in your life. He is the bestower of all spiritual blessings. And God's blessing is from beginning to end. He that began a good work in you will accomplish it to the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord wants us to know that once He has saved you, He will continue to guide you, continue to lead you, continue to show you the way of life as you would follow Him. So for the people of God, you know, it's so important that we would have our morning watch. Our time with the Lord. Every morning. Well, for me it's in the morning. When you take time to dwell upon God and His Word, to find direction from Him, to seek wisdom, to know what is going on for the rest of the day, and to be prepared for the battle of the new day. Are you prepared for a new day each day? God is using you, and the Lord wants us to be His instrument of blessing. And unless we would be prepared, unless the Lord would prepare us. You see, when Israel would come to the land of Goshen, verse 27 of our text, He would dwell there, and there they would multiply exceedingly. And there would be the last days of Jacob's life. The comfort of Jacob. And we read how the Egyptians were impoverished in their own land. Right? First they had land, they had cattle, but they had to, and they had money in their coffers, but as the famine stretches on, they had to give their money in order to buy grain. And after they gave all their money, there was nothing left. Pharaoh said to them, "Give me your cattle." And then they gave their cattle, they got grain. And then they had nothing left, no more food. And then they were told, "Give the land." And they gave their land. And they became servants of Pharaoh. They were impoverished in their own land. Whereas the people of God, God brought them to the land of Goshen, and how God took care of them. You see the contrast when we have God with us to guide us, to help us. You see the contrast, and the Lord wants us to learn and know well His kindly providence in our own life. And we see this in the life of Jacob, how God took care of them. Israel, a prince with God, that he had power over the angels and prevailed. God worked mightily in his life, but finally it was time also for Jacob to die. There is no remedy. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Are you prepared for the day of reckoning? Are you prepared? Well, only in the Lord Jesus Christ can we be prepared for this life, in the famine to come, and in the life to come after death. He takes care of us. If we would align our will to His will, would surrender our will to His will, so that we would do His bidding, His purpose by which we are created. And what did He do for His church? Well, He has given us the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. And this is our mandate, that we be a witness for Him at this time. And how can you be a witness for Him at this time? By staying close to Him. By living a life of faith and not fear. Doing the will of God with boldness and courage. Not cowed. The Church of Jesus Christ must prevail, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not at this time. And the people of God must understand it. And that you have a role that God has for you. And I pray that you would fulfill it just by assembling to worship Him. You are demonstrating to the world that God is real, that His power is real, that He's able to take care of us. May God help us. May we be found faithful, that we would trust and follow Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen Thy people by Thy Holy Spirit and help us to follow Thee, that we will not move unless we have received Thy command. And when Thou hast commanded, let us be swift to obey and follow Thee, do Thy bidding. At this time, in these last times, help us, Thy church, that we may understand the sign of the times and to rise up, that men of God may do the will of God with courage and with boldness for Thy own namesake. Hear our prayer. This I ask with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The closing hymn is 223, Trust and Obey. 323, let us arise.
be. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Gracious.